Oh my gosh. I feel like you're so spread out all over the place. You know, in Revelation, it says that the kingdom age, or the kingdom of heaven, right, is for the children. And I'm going to tell you that with all the children here today, it's just amazing. And I'm sitting over there, and these children are waving the spiritual flags over me. I really felt the presence of God. Isn't that awesome that you would have that happening? Thank you, Lord, for that. Well, I have about 150 pages today. I wanted to make it extra long. And I have to say that I am a little bit nervous, so if you see me shaking, you know why. Before I get started, though, I just want to say that I wanted to thank Pastor Roy and Marie. Thank you. I know. Thanks, Pastor Roy and Marie, and all of my friends. We have the Community Health Center came. Thank you so much for coming. I'm going to put a plug in for you. Some people said, you know, I noticed that you lost a lot of weight. Well, I didn't lose a lot of weight, but I lost some weight. And that's the woman's responsible right over there. So you can say hello. Her name is Joanne, but don't do it now. Do it later. So the title is The Presence. And really what it comes down to is conquering, overcoming. Amen. In His presence. Now, I do want to say that I had a beginning and a message that the Lord had given me over a week ago, maybe even longer. But this morning when I woke up, it was like, don't do that. Do this instead. And I'm like, come on, really? Hold on a minute. I see somebody walking in that has to be in here for this message. Get in here, Anthony.
Hallelujah.
Anthony's here from Queens. Hallelujah. Look at this. Took a train in. God bless you, Anthony. You braved the cold. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for the people you brought here today. We know that they're here for a special reason, not just to encourage me, and I do appreciate that, and to hold you all up in prayer over the time that I spent with you. But because the Lord has put something in your heart that will not change, it's never ending, and whatever God does, He does forever. It's a never-ending thing. So when I asked the Lord, why would you want to change what I've already done? He said, well, you know, you don't really have to practice this or study this because this is some part of your testimony. Now, it's not the entire testimony. It's going to be a part of it. And it's like a five-day span. So it's hard to put, you know, 5 days into 45 minutes. So I'm going to do the best I can. And forgive me if you get itchy and you want to stand up, raise your hand. We'll take a break. So put my glasses on, and the Lord said this, well, I hate to say the Lord said, but He did, woke me up this morning and said, I want you to take out the beginning that you had planned and put the beginning that I have planned for you today. And I said, but I didn't have time to go over this. And He said, it doesn't matter. So this is what He said. He said, to tell the truth. He told me to tell the truth because this really happened. It really happened. This is not a story. I'm not making it up. He said that repentance is the key. It happened because of a repentant heart. Now, that's a nasty word, don't you? A lot of people say, oh, repent for the Lord, or the end is near, God is coming. It's such a word that's a stigma to people that puts fear in their heart and also turns them off. But I want to tell you that that's not true, and that's never the way it should be. Because by definition, the word repentance simply means to turn and face the Lord. Now, what He showed me was a picture like this. He said, if I'm in a conversation with you, or anyone for that matter, anyone you're in a conversation with, one person has their back to you. Now, you're in the presence of that person, and the person is in the presence with you, but you're not facing them. God gave us five senses. He uses all five senses. So what happens is when you're got your back to you, yeah, I'm in your presence, and I can sense that you're here, but I'm not really paying attention to you, and you're not really paying attention to me. But you're talking to me, and I'm like, yeah, okay. So what happens is when I repent, I stop, and I turn around, and I look at you. Now, not only am I hearing you, I'm seeing you, I'm sensing you, I'm feeling you, and I'm knowing that you're here, present in the presence. And that's what this is about, being present in His presence. God is always present. We're always in His presence. You understand what I'm saying? We're always, you can nod, you can say yes.
Yes.
We're always in his presence.
Amen.
But we're not present. So we have to learn to become present in God's presence. And there'll be an incredible thing will happen. And that thing that happens is transformation. We become transformed in the presence of the Lord God, being present in his presence. So it says that repentance brings transformation, and transformation simultaneously brings the presence of God, our Father in heaven. Repentance brings the gift of reconciliation. Anybody not know what reconciliation means? Anyone? How about I put it this way? How many people know what reconciliation is? Let's do it that way. Okay, to be reconciled to God. And he said, tell them this, to be reconciled to God again. See, we were once reconciled with God in the Garden of Eden. We were with him. And we were ever present with him. But we left there. And now, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we are born again into the presence of God, drawn back to the garden where we once were. We are overcomers.
Yes, we are.
So the title for this today and the title for next Saturday, if you're present, be present in the presence, is conquering and overcoming in the presence of God. So try to make it next Saturday. Jonathan Hugo will be speaking along with Phil Imperato and Donna Stanfield. Now the problem is that when we are overcomers, does anybody see a strategy here? Well, if you're an overcomer, you're going to need things to overcome, because you can't overcome nothing. So an overcomer means that you will have problems to overcome. And that was my first scriptures in 1 Peter 5. It talks about the trials and tribulations and being able to overcome these things through the presence of God. Through the presence of God. But the Lord said, take that scripture and just tell them what it is and let them look it up. 1 Peter 5. I didn't put it on the board. So we changed from glory to glory, and not by message to message. No amens there? Amen. God is not on the pulpit. He's out there in the seats with all of you. And he's never in a hurry. So that's what he taught me this morning to say to you. So thank you, Lord. I wanted to be obedient to God when he said that. I also had a handout, which I'm not going to hand out, but it's called Do Not Fear, God is Near. If you like that, come and talk to me later. Okay. Ready? Ready, Martha? You are. Good. We all know that the unrepentant world is destined for a great tribulation, but as far as the living, praying church is concerned, we will continue to climb toward the standard of Christ likeness and to a time of great joy as we begin entering into the glory of his presence. And that was Pastor Francis Frangipan. This is a time of drawing near to God. We might be awakened during the night by a visitation of the Lord, maybe even through a vision during the day, or perhaps a fragrance or a sound that ushers a moment of time, stamped and framed, that will capture us. It's going to capture you right there. Then once we become still in that, we will behold the beauty of the Lord. A present falling of his glory onto you. Now listen carefully, because I think this is something that happens to all of us and we're not aware of it. So become aware, to become present in his presence. The present falling of his glory onto you, weighing on you so that you are unable to move. You are motionless as if you were dead, but remain completely aware. Then you sense an overwhelming power, his love. And his love completely overtakes you. And you wither while growing weak by the intense fire of his presence. Now, unable to move as so much as a finger, You become spiritually conscious, awake, heightened beyond anything you have ever known. You can now see yourself like one of those living creatures in the book of Revelation, with eyes around and within. And day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." The omnipotent, the ruler of all, who was and is to come, the unchanging eternal God in Revelation 4:8. Within our eyes, we will come face to face about our personal righteousness. Suddenly, our flaws become unbearably vivid and utterly sinful. This is transformation. The inequity is not as something that we have occasionally committed, but as something we are and have perpetually been. We may see the times when we could have been more loving. He's going to show us that. He's going to show us the times when we could have been more kinder and maybe a little bit more sensitive. Now we see how selfish many of our actions really were. But the good news, I don't mean to bum anybody out. The good news is that for all that is dark within us, we will feel no rebuke from the Lord, nor condemnation. And certainly no voice coming from heaven to convict us of any wrongdoings. The only voice condemning us will be your own voice. In Job 42:6, Job says, "In the light of his presence, I have bored myself." He couldn't stand himself. In the presence of God, he showed him just how wretched he really was. And that's okay. In a way that is somewhat profound to me, I understand that only Christ could live like Christ. I can't do it. I cannot do it. It's not somewhat, it's very profound. God's plan is not to improve us, but to remove us, so that the Lord Jesus himself could actually live his life through us. Galatians 2:20. In his indwelling would rest our hope of becoming like him, Jesus Christ. The hope of glory, Colossians 1:27, and again in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. The radiance of his presence will increasingly pour into the spiritual realm surrounding our world, and not only the powers of heavens will be shaken, as in Matthew 24:29 and Hebrews 12, but the very world as we know it will experience dramatic changes. Dramatic changes. In many ways, they already are. Wouldn't you say? There's a lot of changes going on in the world. Some are really good, some are not so good. But they are dramatic. And they have been in the process of changing since the Lord was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. He was raised from the dead to bring those changes. The Lord is not only coming to judge the earth, but to fill the world with his glory. That is the manifest presence of God. The radiance of his presence is as a living fire upon our being and our very consciousness. The power of the living God surrounds us, and encapsulates us, our very being. He changes everything, and we will not remain the same because we cannot remain the same. Sounds kind of scary, but really isn't. His presence brings transformation in and on the earth. The atmosphere is altered, and guess what? It's even removed. It's gone. No more atmosphere. What does that mean? Whew. The power of his will, his love, significantly overtakes us. It will certainly be uncomfortable. Can you imagine living in a world with no atmosphere? Not comfortable. Not as we know it, anyway. It'll be painful, but somehow it'll still be refreshing. We will be refreshed. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force, in Matthew 11:12. That's scripture right there. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So that's not going to be comfortable. Without any buffer or self-justification or deceit, we will come to see just how far short of his glory we truly are. Can't fool ourselves. Can't fool him. We may fool others for a while, but the truth went out. Mankind needs the blood of Christ. Needs it. And no amount of personal attainment in or of itself could ever make us like Jesus. Even though we're being transformed into his image, there's no amount of personal attainment. We will be as a great procession of heavenly beings, descending and ascending through an open heaven, and there will be the Lord coming from heaven and coming to earth. Behind him, there will be the saints and all those who are following him. They will become part of his being, eternally remaining in the depths of the Lord's manifest presence that is unmeasurable and unfathomable. Nothing? Sounds pretty awesome to me. So are you saying, what is he talking about? But just hang in there.
Hallelujah.
Because all this is going to lead up to something that happened to me.
Amen.
And this is what it took. It took all this. And I'm going to tell you about it in just a second or two. So as the Lord draws near, and as we draw nearer to him, you see, we need to be present in his presence all the time. He's always present. His presence is always with us. His word said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he wasn't kidding. So as the Lord draws near and as we draw nearer to him, let your prayer be this. And you could think of this as I say it to you. Fill us with the presence of the Lamb. The presence of Christ will be all that fills our minds. Those who love him will experience the increase of his pleasure. And they will taste the nectar of heaven. Whether we are for God or against God, everyone's mind will be flooded with thoughts about God. You get what I'm saying? Whether you're for God or against him, you're still going to be thinking of him. He's going to fill your mind with him. Of course, we hope that you would choose to be for him. In his presence is the fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11. We are transfigured in a way that washes our existence free and clean. Done deal. Purity pours out from our tears, and now we see with unveiled eyes, as in Acts 9:18, we are overwhelmed by his beauty and his grace. Overwhelmed, totally. So I'd like to tell you a little bit of experience and testimony of the manifest presence that transformed a wreck like me and brought me to a great awakening in my new life in Christ. And here we go.
Hallelujah.
Take a sip first.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, if I break down in tears, please forgive me. All right, don't forgive me. Yeah, maybe. It takes that. It does take that. The room and the house in Maspeth, Queens, 2001. Let me set the scene for you. Darkness was necessary to live in this place, mainly because what you don't see won't disgust you. So the windows were blocked out and the drapes were doubled to keep the light out. There was no heat in the winter, no air conditioning in the summer. Whew. Can you imagine? The temperature ranged from very hot to very, very cold. A mattress on the floor and dirty clothes and towels and sheets were the blankets. Where sleeping was not an option, but just passing out was. Passing out. That's not sleeping. That's just passing out. Remaining fully dressed in a jacket and shoes were my pajamas in the winter. That's what I look like. Hospital pants and being shirtless in the heat of the summer, and of course, dirty socks covering my filthy feet. I was a mess. My hair was like this. I had this full beard. Remember, Rudy? When I took a shower, and I actually took a bath at Pastor Roy and Marie's house, I soaked in there for a few hours, half hour, whatever. And when I got out, I left ring around the tub that took like four washings to get all the dirt and muck off from there. It was disgusting. But you can't see that now, can you? You don't see that now. There were no light bulbs in the lamps. Now we took them out. And I burned candles to offer some light so that I could see. And maybe the flames offered a little bit of heat, too. The flames were used to cook the water in the tubes that were used to prepare the drugs, as well as to cast some light in the darkness. Now that dim light that was cast also cast shadows of demonic images on the walls and on the ceilings. And if you've ever experienced that, that is scary. Let me tell you a part about the supernatural miracle that happened over the short period of time and in less than a week. So we go to the presence, the search for an object to use as credit or collateral. Why is that? Well, when you run out of money, you got nothing to offer, you look for something to trade the dealer with, to trade for. And that's what I did. I was doing that. Now, I have to tell you that I must have searched this room 1,000 times. I mean, I was there for 6-7 years, maybe even longer. I don't even know. I tell you the truth. I was there a long time. And I had looked all over the room, knowing that this dealer was coming to the house to make a trade with him, right? So I searched and searched, and I found something. And the search provided a book, a supernatural book. And the strange thing about this book, as it appeared, it had initials on it, and they were my initials. Now, I've been through this shelf 1,000 times. I've never seen this book before. But there it was, with my initials on it. My initials, incidentally, are S-J-E. And at the time when I saw this book, it had S-J-E on it. As a matter of fact, it had a heart with S-J-E loves Jesus. How is this possible that this book is in my room? Now, let me tell you who S-J-E was at that time besides me. It was my niece, Sarah. Her name is Sarah Joy Esposito. It's no longer Sarah Joy Esposito, it's Sarah Joy Martin, because she got married. But at the time, she was Sarah Joy Esposito. Now, how does Sarah, my niece's book, get into this room in Queens when she lived on Long Island, and maybe she was in, I don't even know if she was out of state. But there it was. Sarah never was to this place, thank God. And here's the supernatural part. I opened the book up, and the people in the room left. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Do you know what kind of book this was? Anybody? It's a Bible. You don't have to be afraid to say Bible.
Bible.
Thank you. It was a Bible. It was a God book. And for the first time in a very long time, I was able to put my paraphernalia down. When people left the room, now, I'll tell you the truth, why that happens is because when there are people there, they'll steal it from you. They'll steal your paraphernalia. That's how desperate people get. That's how desperate I had gotten. What happens next is impossible. At least so I thought it was. But with God, all things are possible. So let me tell you how and what happened. First, I cried out to the Lord, and I was shaking my fist at the sky or the ceiling, and I was cursing him. I was like, you call yourself a God? What kind of God are you? And I'm sure that all of you have asked the same question differently, though. Like, why is there cancer? Why did little children suffering? Why is there murder going on? Why are people blowing themselves up and killing innocent people? You're really asking God that question when you ask that. How does God even permit that? Well, I was asking the same question a little more selfishly. Like, you call yourself a God? What kind of God does this? Why me? So I was questioning why, and I asked, if you are real, because I sort of hoped he was, but I didn't believe it, like so many of you here today have that question in your heart and in your mind. And it's not a bad question. It's not wrong to think that way. It just is. If you are real. You know what? I challenge you to ask that question, because he will show himself real. Then what? God. So cocky. I was cocky. So what, God? What are you going to do next? So from Monday till Thursday of that week, I heard nothing from God, as if he was going to answer me in a way that I would actually understand. And even after opening the book, I read Jeremiah 29:11. Things started to change. Right? You know what Jeremiah 29:11 is, and if you don't, I'll give you a quick rundown on it. Do we have it up there? There it is. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. That scripture was like, really, God, really? You have a plan for me, and this is your plan? I would wake up some mornings, if you want to call it waking up, I would come to in the morning or in the afternoon, whenever I was able to not stay passed out, open my eyes and go, oh, cripe, I'm alive. Yeah, that's what I used to say. I don't say that now. I say, thank God I'm alive. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for my life. Thank you for the, whoo! So as I continue to read the book, it angered and frightened the others all week long. They stopped coming into the room, right out of the room. And as I was starting to read the book out loud, they got more frightened. They were like, stop, please, stop. They were begging me. They were throwing, they would open the door, throw drugs in, close the door. It was like I was a gorilla in a cage, you know. And they're like, here, feed the gorilla, you know. Stop reading that book. They knew something was about to happen. You see, they knew more than I did that something was going to happen. And they became afraid. Me, I was becoming broken. I was crying. I soaked the pages. I still have that Bible, incidentally. Well, I'm sorry, I don't have that Bible. But I have the Bible that came after it. And what I would do is I would highlight those scriptures in yellow. And when the yellow highlight ran out, I didn't go buy another yellow one. I used what I had, and I had an orange. And I would highlight a set of scriptures that came after that. So for months, I was using yellow. Then for months, I used orange. And then when that ran out, I went to green. You know, so I have that Bible with yellow, orange and green. And it shows me the progression. The foundational scriptures are in yellow. Orange came the follow-up to those foundational scriptures. And the green became the solidifying green, the glory green. And Jeremiah 33:3 became my foundational scripture. Do I have to read that, or can you read it? Can you read it? Yeah. Read it. Then the word of the Lord came a second time. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, he says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Now, I tell you the truth. That was phenomenal. So I called out to the Lord, and he was telling me, keep going, keep calling. I'm going to show you some stuff. It's going to blow you away. More than any drug, more than anything that you can ever experience, more than any ride at Six Flags or any of that stuff, any of the adrenaline or anything, coffee, Starbucks, you name it. Whatever is your choice, God is going to show you something greater.
Amen.
Much, much greater. And he did. He started to. There was a stirring that began in the room. The room started to stir. And I was getting, meanwhile, the people like in and out, and you know, the candles, you know, the whole thing. And I had not done the drugs for those days. Even though they kept throwing it at me, it was just there. I finally was able to sleep, fall asleep, because I wasn't doing the drugs. I fell asleep, and I took that Bible, and I held it in my arms, and I slept. And I slept great. And when I wasn't holding on to it, I put it on my pillow, and I slept, which I really didn't have a pillow. It was just a bunch of dirty clothes that was formed in the position of a pillow. I slept with the book in my arms and under my chest, holding on to the book for my life. And during that time, a separation began. A separation began. I read the Psalms 50. Do you have that? Here it is. The mighty one, God, the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him. And it shall be very temptuous all around him, Psalm 50, 1 and 3. These Psalms, 50, 51, and Psalm 60, are a fervent prayer, an urgent prayer for the restored favor of God. I didn't know it at the time, but in retrospect, that's what they are. That's what they were, and they are. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Transgressions are sins. Sins against God. Not against man, but against God. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. The same thing. And cleanse me from my sin. Psalm 51, 1 and 2. An urgent cry for the restored favor of God. Psalm 60. We got Psalm 60 up there, John. Oh God, you have cast us off. You have broken us. Oh, this is Psalm 65. You have broken us down that your beloved may be delivered. That's the way he works. It's like when you go to the dentist, right? You have a cavity. You heard the story before, right? You go there, he drills. He breaks it down. He takes out all the stuff. It's kind of painful while he's doing it. But then he restores that tooth. Healthy. And that's what happens. You get broken down and then he restores you. Psalm 59. Psalm 65, I'm sorry. Psalm 91. Did we throw that up there or did I not put it on there? Because he has set his love upon me. And that's what he was doing. He was setting his love upon me. I'm selfish. Not upon you, but upon me. I'm lying. It's upon all of us. He is setting his love upon you. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. I began to know the Lord's name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him, says the Lord, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, I want to tell you something. That's a promise that you cannot refuse. If you're in that state, if you're doing what I was doing, if you've been there before, and you don't have to do what I do, you don't have to have done what I have done. You could be in any state. If you're in disarray, confusion, chaos, if you are just troubled in general, abused, whether you're eating food that's wrong food for you, that is a promise from God that he will change that. He will make it happen. And of course, Psalm 111, I don't know. The works of the Lord are great. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. All of his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. He has set redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever, holy and awesome in his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Hear that and take heed in that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You might want to ask what that means, but I'm not going to get into it with you. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Now, I have to tell you that it's impossible to do his commandments. It's impossible. You can try, and you should, but you're not going to be able to. But you need to try, because that's how he's going to see it, as you're trying. Aren't you happy when your child tries to do something, even though you know they're going to fail? You know that they're just not going to be able to do it, but they do it anyway. They try. And you reward them. You love them. You take care of them. Well, that's how our Father is going to do it for us. But here's the one that really, really touched me. All those Psalms were a cry out to God, and that's where it starts. It starts with repentance, crying out to God, knowing that in Psalm 51 it says that against you and you alone, Lord, I have sinned. In your sight I have done these things. In his sight, he has seen me do those terrible things, horrible, horrible things. And he was okay with it, at least enough to not let it continue. He put a stop to it. And finally, I read that I had a choice. Didn't know that. The choice that I was given, because here's the story. I mean, the choice. I always thought that I had been this way all my life. Well, I always was, and I was being told that. Well, you always smoked pot, you always did drugs, you were always drinking, you always were doing that, you're always that way. But here's what the Lord said. That's a lie. I wasn't always that way. He didn't make me that way. I wasn't born that way. I wasn't born doing drugs. I came out like a little baby, like these little innocents. That's the way God wanted me to be. So when I read this next scripture, it really touched me. Finally, I read the choice that I was given, to choose life and death, in Deuteronomy 30:19. In Deuteronomy 30:19 says this, I call heaven and earth. This is the Lord speaking, God speaking. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you. Can you imagine that? He called heaven and earth as a witness against me. I was in the court that was ready to condemn me, but he gave me a choice. Yes, thank you, Lord. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Simple. Not so simple when you're there, but seems simple now. Well, I have to tell you, to read those words in the condition that I was in at the time, I was broke. It broke me. And I was weeping and slobbering, literally slobbering all over the Bible, all over the book. And the people were outside, they heard me talking to myself. They were like knocking on the door, and I was like, you okay in there? And I'm like, yeah, go away. The Lord gave me a choice. I can't even begin to tell you how scared and frightened they were, how scared and frightened I was. It was a scary thing. Choose life and not death. I'm telling you now, choose life and not death. If you have a drug problem, stop it. Choose life. If you're drinking, if you're eating, if you're fighting with your spouses, if you're fighting with anyone all the time, change it. You can change it. You can do it. If I could do it, you could do it. I don't know if you look at me now, you're not going to, but I'm telling you, it doesn't even seem real. It's just not even possible for me. I don't tell people this story, I'm telling you, but if people didn't know me, they would never believe this. Oh, you're making it up. Why would I make up such a crazy story? It really happened. The Lord said, tell the truth. I'm telling you the truth. It really happened. You can do it. So I was weeping, slobbering all over the pages of this mighty book, and I thought to myself, yes, choose life. Duh. How simple is that? If this is real, if God is telling me directly to choose life, then I yelled out right then, if you are really God, what do you want from me? What do I have to do? There must be something I have to do. There's no free ride. At least up to that point, I never experienced a free ride. I had to search for a book to, or something to trade as collateral. There was no freebie there. Well, I heard an answer. I heard a voice answering me, and this was the fifth day, not the third day, but the fifth day, who said, and it sounded like me, sounded like my voice, so I really thought I was going crazy. I thought I was losing my mind. Maybe I did, and I just wasn't aware. And he was very annoyed. It was the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he said, Stephen, like my mother, Stephen, just like my mother, what do you want from me? That's what he said. Stephen, what do you want from me? I didn't do this to you. You did it to yourself. Now I thought I was really losing it. So here comes the miracle. That's what happens next. And I'll tell you the story as I asked God for three things. Silly me. I should have asked for 100 things. Who knew? Well, the first thing I asked for was to stop using drugs. And I wanted out of there. And I explained, Lord, I can't stay here anymore. This is ridiculous. I can't do this anymore. And you know what he said? Instantly, he said, done. You don't have to. And I cracked up. And for 4 hours, I just cried. For 4 hours, I just stood there, laid there, whatever. I was a mess. Done? That's it? I don't even believe in you. And you're telling me it's done. But I wanted to believe that was true. And for some reason or another, I did. Because something changed. Something changed in me. When he said done, it was done. He said you had enough. And I was just torn apart by that. I had enough. And I did. I had enough. Second thing I did, I said, Lord, I can't do the programs. I had friends in the programs. They all failed. Couldn't do the program. I was afraid. I didn't want to do the program. Who wants to do a program? Sorry, Anthony. Some program works for some people, but not for me. And I couldn't go through the withdrawal because I had already tried to stop on my own. And in that process of trying to stop, I would go 2 days, 3 days, sometimes a week if I was lucky. But inevitably, I would end up passing out, sleeping in the middle, have a nightmare. I once had a nightmare that was a nightmare. I dreamt that someone gave me a lot of drugs, a lot. I had a lot. And I had this tiny little pipe, tiny. And I tried to put all this stuff into the pipe and then light it, and it wouldn't go. I couldn't do it. And I woke up like freaking out. It was crazy. I know that doesn't mean anything to you, thank God, because you can't understand that. That's a good thing. But that was a nightmare. The third thing was I didn't want to die. Lord, I'm afraid to go to jail because I'll either die in jail. Well, I won't live in jail. And I said, help, I am afraid. So the Lord gave me a plan. He said he had a plan in 29:11, and I was holding him to that promise. What is your plan, Lord? That's a good question to ask of God, right? I'm telling you, ask that question. When you're facing some adversary or adversity, something that is confusing or you can't overcome, it's a repetitive, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, thank you. That's the word. When it keeps happening, ask the Lord, what's the plan? You said you have a plan for me, a plan for good and not evil, a plan to give me a hope and a future. What is it, Lord? Tell me what the plan is. Matter of fact, don't even bother telling me, just do it. If you tell me, I may ruin it. So the plan for good and a strategy for the escape. It was the Great Escape. And you see that movie? Remember the Great Escape? And they planned to get out of there. And the scripture that I got for that was in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. So everybody goes through the same temptations. They're common to men and women, of course. Not to be chauvinist. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. Whew, that you may be able to bear it. Now, I tell you, that is an exciting scripture when you're broken and you need some help quick. That's a great scripture. So what happened next is truly, you're probably going to think I'm just out of my mind, but the Lord said, tell the truth, and I'm going to tell you the truth. A whirlwind, the vortex, and the light. We have that, John? Okay. It started with a wind. There was a wind in the room. I got no windows. Remember, I told you they were double curtains. It was blocked up with boards. I didn't even have light. The bulbs were taken out. Starts with a wind. And it sounded like a rushing train coming into the room. Boom. I saw a vortex form. And I thought I was really losing my mind. And as that was happening, the darkness that was in that room got sucked out of the room through the vortex. Right out of the room. And the room became brilliantly light. Brilliantly white. Full of light. And remember, there were no light bulbs in the room. I like that song.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, I have to tell you that was amazing. It was an amazing thing that took place. Right after the brilliant light came this fragrance, and I knew it was different because the room stunk. And here's the sweet smell of God, the fragrance of love. You know what I'm talking about. You've all smelled love somewhere. It doesn't just have a sense. It has an encompassing. It takes over. Song of Solomon best describes it. The room was purified. And everything that was not of God, and I guess the part of me, was removed. And for that moment, it was just an awesome time. And the scripture that comes to mind is Psalm 97:3-4. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries on all sides. His lightnings have illuminated the world. And his lightning had illuminated the room. That was my world. The earth is seen and it trembled. Those people outside the door, they were scared. They didn't know what was going on. Imagine standing outside there and seeing the light underneath the door.
Hallelujah.
How would that look? Steve, there's no lights in there. What are you doing? Burning down the place? Just brilliant light coming from under the door. I guess I don't remember if they bothered even checking. And I do remember a teaching that once said that a fire goes before him and what is behind him is a desolate wasteland. He just destroys everything. But from those ashes, there is a remnant. And from the remnant, he resurrects what is purified, what has been purified. I am that remnant standing here before you today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, I had a discovery. Did I put that there? I don't know. Discovery was what I have discovered, of course, that heaven functions different from the way we function here on earth. Duh. That really wasn't so profound, was it? And what I mean is by that is this. As soon as I find it. excluding most aspects of the supernatural operations, operating in the supernatural, versus worldly applications or our traditions. Am I losing anybody?
No.
Okay. We are meant to be moving naturally in a supernatural realm and living less commonly in our natural existence. More spiritual, that becomes the normal, and less normal, removed. More of God, less of us. I guess that's probably the easiest way of saying it. Or better yet, you could say living in what the Old Testament called the promised land, and the New Testament now calls the kingdom of heaven. How, why, and what can only be explained as well as discovered in the manifest presence of God the Father. Because we are a kingdom-minded people, aware and awakened to the presence of God through and in our relationship and experiences in authority with Him and in Jesus. And that's simply because, and simply, Pastor Marie, simply, because the Holy Spirit now lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, He gives you the Holy Spirit. Well, I said yes to God and to Jesus. He became my Savior. And when I did, He said, I'm going to send you a helper. He gave me the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Some other examples. Abraham, who did not waver at the promise of God, experienced the manifest presence.
Amen.
He stood perfectly in the presence of God and did not die, but lived. Moses, through the burning bush. You know the story in the Bible where it says the bush, he went and had a conversation. But before he did that, it says that he turned aside. He turned from his ways. He repented. He repents. And repentance is not a bad word. Even though they depict that in the movies as a terrible word, repent, the Lord is near, He's coming, He's going to kill you, you're going to die. No, that's not true. It means you're just simply facing who you're talking to. You're talking to the Lord. Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus, she had an encounter with the angel of God, in the presence of God, that brought her the good news of an impossible truth. And that's just to mention a few. Each encounter you have, every encounter that we have with the living God is a testimony that overcomes the world. For they are paid for by the precious blood of Jesus. Every one, every encounter.
Amen.
The scriptures repeatedly remind us that the eternal living Lord has made His presence known in many ways and on many occasions right from the beginning of God's creation. Being in the Garden of Eden. Many of the psalmists, for those who don't know what a psalmist is one who wrote the psalms in the Bible, and their songs and spiritual songs, and they praised and worshiped the Lord with these psalms, brought on the presence. Pastor Roy said this morning that He is enthroned on the praises of His people. So therefore we enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And into His presence. When in the presence of the Lord, it is a time of great joy. Psalm 21:6. King David also testified to the Lord that because God leads him steadily along the pathway of life, he experienced absolute joy in the presence of God. You always give me sheer delight, he said. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. The fullness of life, Psalm 16:11. As it is written, my name, the Son of Righteousness, will rise with healing in its wings and will go forth and skip about like calves. Right out of the stall. You will tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing. 29:11. Says the Lord of hosts, Malachi 4:1-3. Lord, we await your presence. I'm almost done. Is everybody okay? I mean, I could stop now if you want, but I'm not going to. I got some time. And look, yes. We are called to be the carrier of his presence. Colossians 1:27, which is the Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. His glory, not ours, his. 2 Corinthians in the King James Version says it like this. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, conquering, overcoming in Christ, and makes manifest the presence of the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. Not just some places, not just in church. Not just in spiritual meetings and hangouts. Not just with Christians or non-Christians, but every place. Every place. Exodus 33:13-14 says, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. You know, that's become my new prayer. I used to ask God to give me favor with men, especially at work, my boss, people that I associate with. Give me favor with men and princes, right? That's what the scripture says. But I found that just recently, like a couple of months ago, that prayer is really amiss. And the better prayer would be to seek first the kingdom of God. So what I want to find favor with is with God. That's my prayer. Lord, let me find favor with you. And I did. And I have. Things have changed since I started praying that prayer. So if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, anybody know what the Lord said? It's up there. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Wow. Okay. I'm getting tired. Today the Lord is using an overcoming people to establish places that are marked by his presence. You're going to know them because they're going to be marked. They're going to be like the lighthouse on a foggy place out there in the middle of nowhere. There it is. They're going to be marked by his presence, a place of inner communion with him. Here we are blessed by the Father, but we will need more than just his blessing. It's as if his blessing was not enough. We're going to need more than just his blessing. We will need and want to have a deep desire of his presence. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Exodus 33:15. God not only wants to minister to us, but he will minister through us. There is an upward call to an overcoming people, more than conquerors. Romans 8:37. Who God will use in overcoming the powers of darkness as his presence releases the light of his kingdom. Remember the light that filled that room, the brilliant light, the funnel that sucked out all the darkness and that brilliant light that came in. Amen. That scripture right there. God will use in overcoming the powers of darkness as his presence releases the kingdom, the light of his kingdom. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land, a deep darkness, a light has dawned. Isaiah 9:2. That light is bright, and it's shining, and it always shines. Those who now walk with the authority given them by the presencing of the living God, the Holy Spirit, worshiping him and exalting his name will destroy the works of darkness, the evil one. And there's a scripture that says this, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. That's why it's important to be in the presence of God. Let it manifest. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. John 1:5. So I'm done, but I want to pray for you and with you. Give you a prayer that the Lord put on my heart to speak. It's very short. It's not a very long prayer. So if you don't mind, stand up for a minute and just bow your head and hearts and just say that I receive this prayer, Lord. It's for good and not for evil. It's He gives us an escape when we need one. And remember that we will have to overcome the things. In order to be considered an overcomer, there has to be something to overcome. And it's not going to be pleasant. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Can you say, I thank you, Lord? I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, teach us the way of your presence. And may we be joined together with you. And may we move when you move. We love you, Lord. And we love your presence. Make us to be a people of conquering overcomers. The people of your presence. Amen? Amen. 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 Go and sin no more.